Well, welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm very pleased to have as my guest, back again, Danyon Brinkley, who is got a new book called Secrets of the Light, Lessons from Heaven. And he is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Saved by the Light. And in this book, he gives us some additional guidance from his experience on the other side. Good morning, Danyon. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous, Susan.
Well, great. You were on the show, I guess, a few years ago. We talked about healing centers and some of the things that you learned on the other side. But just to catch everybody up with your story, would you mind telling them how you came across this information?
Yeah, sure.
How you stumbled into it, so to
speak. Yeah, how I accidentally discovered that we are great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings with dignity, direction, and purpose.
There you go.
In 1975 in South Carolina, I was talking on the phone on a Wednesday afternoon, and I was struck by lightning. Dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. And in the course of this lightning strike, I lifted out of my body. I became aware of the world below me, the world I was in, and that there was a world after this one. Then I moved down this tunnel. I came into this place of bright, brilliant, beautiful light. I was met by beings of light. I saw the multidimensional reality that we know as heaven religiously, but spiritually we know as home. And in the course of that, I saw that basically about 75% of everything I've ever been told in my life was not true. And as you begin to rebuild a life based on that, you begin to observe a lot of really strange things about life and death and love and hope and aspiration and inspiration.
So these beings of light that you encountered, what
are angels?
Angels?
Some people
okay.
I never saw any wings on
right.
these beings of light, but I went back to find wings in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Because these angels, every time you ever see an angel, they have wings. Well, I never saw any wings on these beings, and so when I went back to the Bible,
mm-hmm.
there is never a mention of winged angels in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to go back a little more, and I discovered that that's a Babylonian mythology
mm-hmm.
about winged creatures. So we all hope angels have wings, but nowhere in the Bible are there winged angels. And then I realized that angel means messenger. It has nothing
right.
to do with wings. So somewhere in the Renaissance, we created this concept that something can fly between here and heaven.
Right. In the Seth teachings, it talks about how our beliefs create our reality in the, I guess you would call the fourth dimension. So when we die, if we believe that we're going to go to heaven, hang out on a cloud, and play the harp, we will for a while until we get tired of it. If we believe we have to cross the river Styx, you know, to get to the other side of the afterlife, we will. And if we believe we're going to hell, we'll actually go there for a while.
Yeah, and that's then, what you enjoy.
Right, right. Well, or that's what you think you deserve. Because after all, as you said so well in your book, the only person that judges you is yourself on these afterlife reviews. I mean, you get to, you're not judged by an outside person.
Yeah, you know you better than anybody.
Right.
And when you
right.
return, Susan, to the other side, it's not about some great judgment. It's about a powerful, mighty spiritual being
mm-hmm.
observing a life.
Mm-hmm.
And the judgment system is, if God couldn't come today and God had sent you,
mm-hmm.
in the life you just reviewed, what difference did God make? That means that you are divinely created of origin.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you represent spirituality or divinity in a life that you're leading or living. And you get a chance to observe yourself as that. That was the most phenomenal thing to me, Susan. Because, you know, we all think that we're separated from the divine at this human life.
Mm-hmm.
And many religions teach that we came here separated to have a life living in hell,
right.
Hell on earth. Well, that's all nonsense. You created the life that you're living so that you could learn, appreciate, admire, and inspire others. And by creating hardships to overcome is how you truly grow in a slower pace in the physical plane to better empower yourself in the spiritual plane.
So on Life Review, you describe this in your book, Secrets of the Light. The first thing you experience is the panoramic view. Would you like to go into that a little bit more? I think people would be interested in that.
Was the greatest point, Susan, of transformation for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this will happen to everybody. Some call it the Book of Judgment,
right,
or the Hall of Records, the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, you will see your entire life pass before you in a 360-degree panorama.
Mm-hmm.
You have missed nothing. You know how many hairs was in the nose of the doctor that pulled you from your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you get a grip on what you limited yourself
mm-hmm.
to, how you cut off so much access to your to the infinite wisdom, the cosmic understanding, so that you could teach yourself a lesson.
Right.
Then you will see it from a second person point of view, the options or possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That were there for you in making every single decision. So sometimes you see, wow, how brilliant you are. And then for me, most of the time I saw how stupid I was.
Why didn't I take advantage of this, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get it. Why in the world did I play that hand as opposed to the options
right.
and possibilities that I had?
Right.
And then you literally become every person that you ever encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel the direct results of your interaction between that person.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what that person felt.
Mm-hmm.
What that teaches us is this. It's not what you do that matters
mm-hmm.
as much as why you do it.
Right.
And so for the rest of my life, I always pay attention to my intention.
Right.
Why
That's
am I doing
important.
This? Because once you realize why you're doing it, it has a very
mm-hmm.
corrective nature to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it also keeps you to the course.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of things we do on a daily basis that we just do out of rote or habit that really we could drop and do other things that are more useful.
That's a lesson everybody should learn today from listening
right.
to you.
Right. And in your book, you talk about how important it is to take 15 minutes twice a day just to meditate and to not only quiet your mind so you can get information, but also just reflect on the important things trying to come into you from spirit. And I have a cute story to tell. I was doing a surgery, and after these particular surgeries, I usually check in with some people with some higher guidance because I tend to take on negative energy during these particular surgeries that can then depress my immune system. So I was checking in with my friend after the surgery just to make sure I hadn't taken anything from the patient, because when I do surgery, I kind of merge with the patient. And he said, no, you're good, but two of your angels are trying to get your attention. They're batting your head around. And so when I went into quiet time, then I heard exactly what was threatening my practice. I mean, it was like they were trying to get my attention because something was threatening me that day, and I had no idea because I was involved in multiple surgeries, so I was running around, you know how we do, running around getting all these things done. But yet it was very important that I pay attention and clean up some negative energy being generated from another employee. And it's just fascinating that the angels are really trying to get your attention a lot of the time.
Everybody.
So we have to like be quiet and listen.
Well, I do it three times a day.
I mean, I do it
three times a day. I don't go
mm-hmm.
crazy. I don't contemplate my navel.
Right.
But I know that this is another thing that people should realize. The angelic order, or the angels or guides or beings, we come in teams of seven. You and
mm-hmm.
six others. They need you as much as you need them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're evolving in the level of consciousness that they're existing in, the same as we are.
Right.
And once you get over that, you know, that poor, pitiful me thing, you realize that you learn to commune with them.
Mm-hmm.
And as a collective team, you can find all the answers.
Right.
So I do it when I eat.
Yeah.
A lot of people pray. But most of the time we pray to get us out of something.
Right.
When you say grace, or you
mm-hmm.
bless the food,
mm-hmm.
or it's sitting in front of you. So being thankful is the time that I take that 3 or 4 minutes and I stop
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to enjoy my meal and I mm-hmm. commune. Right. Whatever I can do to help them in their world, mm-hmm. I freely let that information come. And whatever I need for them to tell me to help me in my world, freely let that information come. Because, Susan, what people have to realize is we're moving into that period of time that I foretold in 1975 for the battle for the souls of men.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it would always be fought in healthcare. That's why I was so happy to be on your show, because healthcare is now a national issue.
Isn't it?
And in the 1,011 pages of the new healthcare initiative that's in mm-hmm. the House right now, well, with my obsessive compulsive personality, I would have read it.
That's funny.
Well, it's just how I am, you know.
That's
I can't
right.
listen to casual chatter.
Yeah.
I have to know.
Right.
On page 452 to page 457
mm-hmm.
in that 1,000 pages is the dance. The constant review of senior health care.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody that's 50 years or older and living in the United States,
mm-hmm.
it would behoove them to read those pages. Because your health care becomes a matter of cost, not about your spirituality
right.
or what you fear on the other side or what you think might happen. And if there is a national health care, the withholding of treatment becomes to be a decision made by a group
by
of bean counters in some insurance company.
Yeah.
And it's going to constantly review it. Well,
right.
as they told me in those prophecies in Saved by the Light, which I never mm-hmm. knew they were prophecies, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I just talked too much because I didn't know what was real and not real. People have to remember, Dr. Raymond Moody had not written his famed book, Life After Life,
mm-hmm.
when I had this experience, so it didn't
right.
have a name.
Mm-hmm.
It was Raymond who named it Near Death Experience.
Yeah.
Well, I had this in South Carolina in 1975 with no name for it, no way to
mm-hmm.
attach it or understand it. And so I began to tell everything, and then it turned out to be I became Nostradamus or some prophet,
mm-hmm.
some visionary. But all I did was see this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here.
Right, we are.
And your health care and the quality of your issues of end of life
mm-hmm.
is now in the Congress of the United States of America,
right.
moving through it, trying to have it negotiated on
mm-hmm.
this new health care regime created by our government. So what is so important about today is people don't mess around.
Mm-hmm.
You better get right with yourself. You
mm-hmm.
better pay attention to what you believe about this life and the afterlife
mm-hmm.
because you are losing control
right.
of how you will leave this world and what kind of measures you can take. We all, and I believe that it's right that this issue comes forward, Susan, because 70 cents of every dollar in health care is spent in the last 6 months to extend life an average of 16 days.
Right.
Because we have not come to grips with our spiritual identity.
Right.
And we would do anything to keep from leaving.
That's
well,
true.
That option is being taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at 452 to 457, it clearly defines a 5-year review.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll set up protocols and research paradigms to determine what medicines you are willing to take to stay on this earth, and
mm-hmm.
then you will either be given them if they think you can get better,
mm-hmm.
but you will be denied them if they think you can't.
Right.
So that legendary day and moment
mm-hmm.
where science and medicine and religion merges
mm-hmm.
into people having to face who they are spiritually and what's next
mm-hmm.
is upon us.
I also think that what's upon us is the day where spiritual discernment becomes very, very important. In fact, could mean the difference between life and death on a daily basis. There are things coming in our not-so-distant future that you will not just go with what the government says, not just go with what an outside advisor says, your doctor, your congressman, whatever, you know, your elected official, but you will be given the chance to discern for yourself if you should take an action. And that is very, very critical in the coming days, and we'll see how people do. I mean, after all, we're here on light, we're here on earth, we're learning, we know that intuition's important, we know that spiritual discernment's important, but then there's always a final exam, isn't there? You know, there's always a test of that, and I think that test is coming up.
And it's, oh no, I support you 100%. And it's being driven by financial concerns of the government. We cannot sustain with 70 cents of every dollar being spent and $56 trillion in unfunded mandates based on our inability to look at our spirituality to determine our life expectancy and what we need to get done here. This is it. That day is upon us. And, you know, if you're a Mayan calendar phobic, like I am, right. If you're a Mayan calendar phobic, 2012 is the next presidential election.
Right.
And most of
That's
these
right.
and most of these issues will be driven forward by then.
Right.
We have a presidential election in 2012. Mm-hmm. We have a midterm election next year. These issues are going to come out.
Yeah,
On Hannity on Fox last night, Hannity brought up the fact of who determines how long you live based on how much it costs to keep you alive.
Right.
Okay, and people now, there is no more let's keep them alive forever. Because the government is going to drive the cost effectiveness, force the insurance companies to set up panels, and the VA is already doing this. The VA has already mandated groups that help determine that. Now, that's going to appear in the debate of religious perspectives as euthanasia.
Right.
It's going to be a governmental mandated perspective. So as people listen today, it's not something to be afraid of. It's something that you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to have to set who you are. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. And you're going to have a set of guidelines that you operate by, because no matter whether you're ready or not, if they withhold treatment, you're going to the place I've already seen. For me, that's a very pleasant thought.
Yeah. When can I get out of here, huh?
Yeah, I mean, God, I couldn't die soon enough.
Yeah, but it also forces people in another direction, too, one that I know is dear to your heart. Say they withhold chemotherapy or they withhold a surgery, but you know that there's other treatments available.
Alternative,
you know that there are
perspective.
Right, alternative therapies and ones that are going to be developed very quickly. The biophysics aspect of medicine, I think, will be developed very quickly now because cost effectiveness is bringing that into the forefront, just like, you know, alternatives to fossil fuels are being brought into the forefront because of cost considerations in that arena. So it behooves people to educate themselves about alternative therapies, which don't require you to go to a hospital. You can have these alternative therapies in your home.
And preventative.
And preventative, exactly.
Yeah, fools, take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Because if you don't, what's going to happen when you come to making these choices and decisions in your life about your spiritual self, they'll be taken away.
Right.
I have two places in this, Susan. Number one, I always knew it was going to come, and I have preached this gospel for 34 years. I knew it would come around 2012 because I saw it. I helped set up the National Institute for Health's Office of Complementary and Alternative Medical Policy. I was on the Chantilly Board, the group that brought this into existence. And in everything I've ever talked about, based on these near-death experiences, knowing I've been through this three times, and seeing the other side, the only way we as humans are going to be able to take care of our health as well as extend our life expectancy based on the job we have to do is taking responsibility. As soon as people realize that everything is energy, it's all about energy, even that pill that pharmacology is going to have to soon answer for and its side effects, what's going to happen is they're going to have to listen to that it's energy. And once it's energy, how does it energetically affect you?
Right.
Well, once that debate comes forward,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be really, really wondrous about the decisions that the human being makes about spirituality. And I'm glad the debate is here. I just don't think people are ready to face it. It will cause literally a revolt. Religion and government
mm-hmm.
are about to collide.
Yeah, I see that.
It's going to happen. And when you start dictating the quality in life in mandated euthanasia
mm-hmm.
or assisted suicide or controlled
mm-hmm.
suicide because you've reached a certain age,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that the largest expanded group of Western consciousness are the baby boomers.
Right.
In the history of the Western world, there has never been a larger expanded group than us.
Right.
You know, it's not. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
And now they're going to dictate to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have an upper hand on this because I've already been there.
Mm-hmm.
I know how wondrous it is, but when that issue comes to the forefront,
mm-hmm.
that at 50 years old, the ability for you to stay alive because you don't want to go or you think you're going to hell or whatever these issues are that you've driven
mm-hmm.
is no longer in your hands.
Right.
I think it's going to be exciting.
Well, I think it's going to let people take an opportunity to choose, and you talk a lot about choice in your book, but you either choose to take responsibility or you choose to be dictated to. And if you've all your life, you know, lived off the system and taken every advantage that you ever could and just depended on the system to take care of you and didn't do anything for the society as a whole, like you talk about in your book, volunteering and doing some things to give back, I think that the future may be a little bleak for you, because number one, you don't have the skill sets to choose for yourself. You haven't developed your intuition. You haven't done anything but be dependent. And I think the people who are dependent, which are the majority of people that come to Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare, there are some really amazing thinkers there. I think the people will find alternatives, because that's what we do as humans.
As spiritual beings,
if we find ourselves boxed into a corner, we find a way out of it. And you know, I spent my life being a surgeon, and surgeons can't just accept what's in front of them. I mean, if the patient's bleeding to death, we're going to do something about it. And I use my spiritual guidance. I had this one person bleeding to death on me, and I had tried everything, and I said to God, I said, "Is this guy going to die or what?" And then I was told exactly what to do to stop the bleeding, and I guess that was my asking for help. And he lived. And in fact, I heard, that was several years ago, I heard from him again last week. So, and he's helping a lot of people. He was hit by a drunk driver, and he's helping a lot of people. He goes around educating high school students about why you don't want to drink and drive. So I guess God wasn't ready to let him bleed to death that day.
And it won't happen until it's your time.
That's right.
I don't care if they cut off. I'm not a big chemotherapy lover
mm-hmm.
because you will live a longer and a better life without it than you will with it.
Mm-hmm.
And radiation in some areas are good, but these new energetic waves, once we understand the body as energy,
mm-hmm.
the quantum and theoretical mechanical perspective, the frequency modulated thought patterns of each organ, bringing it back into harmony will be the new science.
It will. Yeah,
it'll be the new science, and nothing's mm-hmm. going to stop this. I know drug companies are going to be really upset.
Well, of course.
Because they're going to have to energetically explain how that pill operates
mm-hmm.
in both the ethereal, energetic, and physical planes and dimensions, mm-hmm. and it only reduces their ability to control. But what I love about the debate that is now coming forward is we are going to have to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. Or else we will be unprepared for what's coming. When they see that you can't survive something, Like, look at the types of cancers, brain cancers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're 15 years old, and the government says no.
Right. Just let them die.
Yeah, because they're not going to get any better.
And this is very important consideration right now with the new research that Dr. Carlo published on the cell phones. I mean, good Lord, a lot of people may be facing that.
Well, a lot of kids.
A lot of kids, yeah.
Because if you look at, especially in the Swedish reports, the stuff of the Swedes and the Nokia people who suppressed that, of how energetically it affects and creates tumors, how much. I'm glad texting came into existence.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because this
takes
is going to happen.
Away from your head.
Yeah, it takes it away from your head. But when this starts, and I think about the two phases, first and most importantly, what people are going to do. You know, what are people going to do when it's your congressman who voted into existence that your son or daughter has to die because they're not going to give you the treatment?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll be very popular in the district.
Nope.
And I'm pretty sure when he goes to hold a town hall meeting, that parent will choose. And this is what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're doing this to my child, then you need to be wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it only has to happen two or three times before we
declare... we quit having town hall meetings.
or we declare martial law.
We do them electronically and declare martial law,
I mean, martial law.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the FEMA programs are already set up for this.
Oh, I know.
Already set up for this. So I am so thankful that I went through these experiences. I wasn't thankful for the pain and the years it took and what I'm going through now over it.
Yeah.
But that I have a very comfort zone between this world and the next world.
Mm-hmm.
And why Catherine and I write, why Saved and at Peace and Secrets of the Light, Saved by the Light at Peace and Light and Secrets of the Light, and why Danyan.com, I try to give people an open focus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of any of this because I've already been through it. I've had to face myself three times.
Right.
I'm getting a little better, Susan, each
time I
die.
Good.
You
know, you're a little less embarrassed when you come out of that life review?
Oh, God. Not much, but still.
A little bit.
Anything helps, but.
Yeah.
We are there.
Yeah.
We are going to be forced economically.
Mm-hmm.
To look at spirituality.
Right.
We are going to have to decide what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the government and the institutions and religions are crumbling around us in their dogma and their doctrine, a new spirituality is going to emerge. I think we're going to go through a pretty crisis point when religion and government collide about the Hippocratic Oath and, you know, to do no harm, and does euthanasia consider doing no harm, and these whole moral and spiritual values that have been institutionalized within the confines of what we fear called death.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be an exciting world. I think if I'm still in South Carolina, and I didn't know this, I'd be a little ticked off. I've got coppitude. But where we are now is, this is in the Congress. It's not it's not some philosophical debate.
Mm-hmm.
I even know the pages. I read the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it's the fine print that can get you, right?
Well, the devil's in the details, girlfriend.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I spoke to you because I hadn't spoken to anybody that actually read the whole thing.
Well, it's my obsessive compulsive personality.
Right.
I can't help it.
Right.
I mean, if I get interested in something, 10,000 pages does not worry me.
That's great.
Well
how many congressmen do you think or senators have read that whole thing?
Maybe one.
Isn't that interesting? I think it's important for the public to understand that what goes on in Congress, I mean, the work happens in committee, you know, putting it together in committee, but actually when it gets to the floor, it's more like a trade on the stock market type thing that happens. You know, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, and the details are not there. nor are they pointed out.
No one ever reads it.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Well, I'm for this. I think throw the bums out. If anybody who goes to Daniel and reads my blog, that ain't nothing. I believe we need to throw them out. We need to start over. I mean, there might be two incumbents that I would vote for.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't shift and change the paradigm, we're collapsing upon ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this, I don't think it'll be a third party, but I think it'll be a first party.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a religious party or a spiritual party that will rise out of this. But it's economics that's driving the factor.
Economics always drives it, though, doesn't it? I mean, think about history. Economics is behind everything. I mean, even when it's set, when people say it's a religious war, it usually isn't. Usually the little things, the little puppeteers behind the scene are all economic. I mean, it could be called a jihad on evening news, but when you really get down to it, it isn't.
Well, maybe. Okay, I mean, because I've been in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Yemen.
Yeah.
I've been in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the lack of knowledge and the absolute total devotion to something you do five times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never had anything.
Right.
But that's more economic than,
there is beliefs. I mean, there are clashings of belief systems. But I'm talking not the people that are fighting the war, but the people controlling behind the
war. Oh, absolutely.
They're not doing it because of some religious belief. The people behind the scenes.
No, they're doing it for business.
Well, right.
To sell weapons, to great geopolitical
strategies. I mean, there's great strategies here that people don't know
about.
Sure,
but it's all about business. I mean, I'm a big business because, look, if you took every budget of every country in military armaments, production of military armaments, of the 212 countries, if you took every one of their budgets for military armament and you combined them, it would come to 53% of what America produces every year.
Yeah, and you could solve a lot of problems with that.
We are the number one arms merchants in the world,
mm-hmm.
almost double 211 other countries. We produce 48% more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're arming both sides in issues and conflicts.
Right.
And there's no doubt about that, Susan.
Good.
It's simple for anybody who reads and looks at the data. This is who we are in the name of what? Freedom? Give me a break.
And the other thing to consider is who's financing both sides of the war?
Same people.
Exactly. And that is, I mean, those debts go forever because, you know, they don't get paid off. You just keep paying interest on the money you owe.
Well, the whole key is this. Every time you take a federal, if you read the fine print of the establishment of a central bank, realize a Federal Reserve note, what we carry in our pockets, every time you give a dollar to someone, you are declaring yourself that dollar in debt. It's not that you pay for something and leave with it. When you use a Federal Reserve as a system of exchange, and I went back and read all this. I never knew any of this stuff. But, you know, you get fixated. Once you realize you're a spiritual being, you get fixated on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And when you're me, with my obsessive compulsive spiritual personality, you go and you look at it. Every time you pay for something with a Federal Reserve note, you declare yourself that much in debt.
Hmm.
That's it. If you read it in the Federal Reserve, when you pay, if you go buy something, when you put that Federal Reserve note down or your credit card down, you are declaring yourself that much more in debt. And the way the Federal Reserve was set up was to never, ever get out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Bernanke testifying before Congress on C-SPAN the other day.
Really? How
interesting. Obsessive compulsive.
And
they ask him, this guy, this congressman, asking on the House Ways and Means Committee where they spent $2 trillion. They spent $2 trillion. and he asked him who got that money. Mm-hmm. And Bernanke said he didn't know.
Okay.
He did not know who got the money.
Uh-huh.
And the guy said, who authorized you to do this? He said it was authorized in 1913 under the Federal Reserve Act. And the guy said, "And did you think in 1913 we would be bailing out other countries?" And then he said, you gave New Zealand $9 billion. That's $3,000 per person in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you not done that for the American citizen?
Isn't that amazing?
He couldn't answer it.
Mm-mm.
So when I watch that, I just laugh.
Mm.
This world that was created in 1913, what's called the Federal Reserve System, and now we even call it a central bank, when George Bush decided that he would support the G8 agenda under what's called the Council of Supervisors. That means there was a one world monetary system being created.
Yeah.
Okay. And I always laughed the other day. Someone was talking about trying to figure out what the mark of the beast was, and I started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it says in the book of Revelations, you cannot buy, sell, or trade unless you bear the mark.
Right.
And 666. And I laughed, and they said, what are you laughing about? I said, your credit score.
Mm-hmm.
It's three numbers. You cannot buy, sell, or trade. You go, you use your credit score to rent apartments, to get a job, because most of the thefts in a job is based on your ability to pay your debts, because most theft is created in a job by people who work there.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that if you look across the three credit score ratings, the number at where you have to negotiate the value of what you're purchasing based on the interest rate on the risk, the mean number is 666.
That's fascinating. I didn't know
you're
that.
Above
that makes sense.
If you're above 666, you get a good rating. If you're below it, you negotiate a higher rating. So if you go to look to see if you want to, if you're a big time Revelation of Johnner, then what happens is the mark of the beast is in play. It's your credit score. Your entire existence as a human being in the financial structure of our government is based on your credit score, not on who you are.
Right.
And your ability to pay your debt.
Right.
So I think it's going to be some interesting times between now and 2012. And if I was most people, I'd be looking up the Mayans. Catherine and I just came back from Mexico. You know, I'm a big pyramid freak.
Mm-hmm.
And we just came back out of the jungles of Mexico looking at looking at these structures. And we go every year. I've been going for 40 years.
Really?
The one point, Susan, that I always go back to before 1975 was in 1968, I went to the Olympics in Mexico. And in between track and field and boxing, I had 2 days. I didn't care about swimming or diving or anything. I cared about boxing and track and field. And someone said, let's go see the pyramids. Well, I thought they were in Egypt. So I got in the car and I went to this, and I pulled up in this field outside of Mexico City. And I could not believe what I saw. These structures are pre-Danian spiritual awakening.
Right.
And I knew that something was wrong with the conversation that I'm being taught historically about what reality was. I didn't know what it was. But if these things could stand, and they've been there 10 to 20,000 years, then everything I've been told has to be revisited. And so we were just there. We just got back like Tuesday. And it's amazing what we're willing to let ourselves believe in order to keep the status quo.
True.
But the status quo is an illusion.
And it's falling down rapidly.
Thank goodness.
It's crumbling. Yeah, and, you know, it's really very important to understand that these big cataclysmic events are actually in divine order. Pluto went into Capricorn on the day in September 08 that everything crashed. The first day. Isn't that wonderful?
Well,
because
it means...
when Pluto goes into a sign, everything that's not real gets exposed.
Shows it, though.
Yeah.
Like the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
The Mayans, especially the Quechua Mayans, who were mostly affected and mostly influenced by the Olmec,
mm-hmm.
when you look at their... They believe that these cycles started 16 billion years ago. Their calendar is based on a 3,240,000 year cycle based on that it takes 25,800 years for our galaxy to rotate through the known universe.
Mm-hmm.
And, people say, well, I don't know. If you go to Mexico, those people couldn't have figured that out. But the Mayans invented the zero.
Mm-hmm.
Where would Bill Gates be if it wasn't for the Mayans?
Really?
Okay, because it's all zeros and ones.
Zeros and ones, yeah.
And so they invented a zero because they were astrophysicists.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at where the Mayan underworld, the tombs, tulums, that you describe it, in the last 5,000 years, which we're in the last 5 years of the 5,000-year cycle,
mm-hmm.
then all things that's not real will collapse and show themselves. And they see this as a cycle. And when you look at it, just like you're talking about Pluto, which is not a planet anymore, remember?
Yeah, really? Isn't that funny? They took that away as a planet.
It's been downgraded to just an effect.
Right.
Okay? But when you look at it from a historical point of view, mm-hmm. what is happening to us is what's supposed to happen.
Right.
The illusions must crumble.
They must.
And the reality must come to bear because decisions have to be made in order to enter a new age. People always get the histrionics that are around the end of one age and the beginning of another one,
mm-hmm.
like 2012 is going to be the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the end of cycles as we know it, and it's already effectually showing itself. But a new era comes, and I think our job, just this conversation, is to open up the hearts of people and the minds of people to possibility.
Right.
Because the world I want to create is one that deals with love and compassion and spiritual mm-hmm. activism and volunteerism and service and helping each other. I'm not afraid. And I don't come this place out of fear. I come out mm-hmm. of knowledge, respect, and appreciation for who I've discovered that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't driven by fear or avoidance. I came this way to become I chose to be a hospice volunteer as my spiritual activism or my volunteerism mm-hmm. because I know something that person who's leaving this world doesn't know. And by helping that person, I can also help those family members who stay behind.
Right.
And I think with the way this healthcare bill is moving, my job is only going to grow.
That's true. That's very true. And really, when we look around, this activism, this change is happening all around us. I mean, the institutions are crumbling, but other more solid things are being built underneath. Traditional medicine is crumbling, but there is a whole holistic, spiritually based medicine that is building up from underneath.
Sure, and this is the spiritual way we are. Look how many people this year left the AMA. How many doctors left the AMA?
Yeah, well, because most doctors don't say that the AMA doesn't speak for them at all.
Yeah, but they're leaving it.
Right, they're leaving it. Yeah,
and being board certified.
They're never joined like me.
Or being board certified.
Right.
Because you're not allowed to integrate alternative and complementary therapeutic modalities
mm-hmm.
when you know that these systems have been around forever. And it was so funny. I was looking at reading with my obsessive compulsive personality disorder. I don't think it's a disorder, but but I was reading FDA rules and regulations.
Oh no!
And you can never. And the FDA has ruled that you can never say that anything but a medicine that they've certified
mm-hmm.
can heal.
Right. That's true.
Okay, well, what happens to food? How does the FDA rule on food and nutrition equal to their paradigm?
They got after Cheerios because they had on their box that it would lower cholesterol. They did.
But you know how crazy that sounds? And we've bought into that.
Well,
it has been allopathic medicine that saved my life in struck by lightning, and in open heart surgery, and in brain surgery, and in heart surgery.
You probably wouldn't be here. That's true.
But it's been complementary medicine that's kept me alive.
That's right. That's
and
very,
by yeah. I am been I'm a great believer in that the only way we're going to reduce cost.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we're going to find our way out of this is the integration of allopathic and complementary medicine, because that's going to awaken people to their own spirituality, Susan. And, mm-hmm. and without being awakened to your spirituality, the real value of why you live and the real value of what you're trying to hold on to becomes a mute situation. And this has to change. And now it's being driven outside of our control.
Mm-hmm.
By our elected representatives trying to save America from physical collapse,
right?
Based on some insanity created by Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to some real deal. And I think where if people don't stop now and get a grip on it,
mm-hmm.
and look at who you are spiritually, and understand the defining methods by which you are living in this world. And why you came to this world, you're going to find yourself in a box
mm-hmm.
that you'll never get out of, and you will have so many unresolved issues that you will never get a chance to make the decisions you should have made when you started.
And self-worth is so important. People who do not have a sense of self-worth are the ones that are using everybody and everything around them, that feel justified, that feel victimized, that feel all of these things. And really, once you start to love yourself, once you start to think that you're worthy of the things that, like health, wealth, and peace, then you start making different choices.
Well, that's the only good thing that's going to come out of this. We are being forced there.
Right.
We are being forced to make those decisions.
Right.
Okay, and I watch it every day. You know, I have no choice. Like I said, 10,000 pages does not worry me.
Well, you know, overall, I'd like to remind our listeners what is in the front of the Course in Miracles, and I think that we just need to remember this every day in our quiet time we take. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Therein lies the peace of God. And those words have helped me through so many circumstances. And as you go through the chaos that's coming up, or has been going on and is coming up for the next few years, just remember that. Everything that's collapsing needs to collapse. So don't hold on to it.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I just want people to be prepared. You have to come to grips with your spirituality.
Right, you do.
It has to be defined, and what your purpose as a spiritual
mm-hmm.
being, not the quality of your human life,
right.
but the value of your spiritual self is coming to be having to be faced, because
right.
how long you will live is no longer in your hands unless
That's
you
right.
take care of yourself
right.
because you cost too much money.
Yeah.
I was looking at this. I went back to look at, you know, here I go again. I went back mm-hmm. and looked at the original value structure of what's called financial instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Your birth certificate is worth $3.5 million as a debt leveraging value that can be traded on the international exchange. Your death certificate is worth $6.5 million because what it costs to bury people and how it funds mortuaries and insurance companies. If you're imprisoned, it's worth $2.5 million. So your life is probably valued at $10 million from birth to death, and most of the big financial, Goldman Sachs, and most of these mm-hmm. big financial institutions hope you go to jail at least once in your life, because it is federally and state funded, which creates debt that can never be repaid, that has to be allocated toward that amount of money.
Yeah.
When you realize that the financial system is based on your birth certificate, where
mm-hmm.
you're given a Social Security number at birth,
mm-hmm.
you become an asset to the system.
Right.
Your death is an asset to the system.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the health care protocols that are coming into being in this
mm-hmm.
new insurance bill, you realize that death is going to be your greatest financial instrument to create debt.
That's interesting.
You know, and I stopped because I have it. I can't help it. I don't care. No, I have to know, and I'll go back and read the entire history of it. Mm-hmm. And here comes this whole straw man business.
Right.
And like you said earlier, follow the money.
Yeah, really.
So more people dying are going to create an asset mm-hmm. for funding and financing debt so that perpetually we stay in debt. That's where the real issue is going to be. And
until the whole system collapses, which I think is not too far in the future.
Oh, it's doing it now.
Yeah. So
do you know right now today, if you look at the overall debt, mm-hmm. every man, woman, and child in the United States owes $488,000.
My goodness.
You owe $488,000.
Actually, right? I know a little more than that.
Hey, well, that's know the feeling.
Yeah, really.
But that's what they say. No, you know what, Susan? You're wonderful. You're a wonderful spiritual being, and knowing what you had to go through to get to be a doctor and the indoctrination, mm-hmm. it's amazing the emergence of a truly beautiful and loving spiritual being that I'm listening to on this phone. And I hope that everybody who's listening makes sure that they have at least two more friends of theirs listening to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they come to Danyon.com and Kinetics and see the world that Catherine and I are trying to create as a perspective.
Right. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour, and it's been an absolute pleasure. And I have been looking at your website. It's really good. It's something that I think everybody should take a look at. And, of course, Secrets of the Light is a fabulous book. It's got a wonderful section in the back that will help people through the process that they really need to start in order to, you know, to keep their sanity in the next few years.
I believe that. We wrote it so that the lessons, if you take the fourfold path,
mm-hmm.
everything's about love. What do you believe
right.
about your love? What choices
right.
do you make based on that belief and how to empower
mm-hmm.
yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the seven lessons and you
mm-hmm.
can see how
right.
to deal with whatever's coming.
That's right. It's beautifully put, and we really appreciate you sharing it with us and being on the show. And if you
Anytime.
Come to Atlanta, I hope to see you. I know that I was actually out of the state when you were here last time, but I'd love
to. Well, about 1,000 Atlanteans were there, so I was really happy about it.
There you
and
go.
And people, this issue about the value of our spiritual self
mm-hmm.
is going to become mainstream between now and 2012. The faster we adapt to it and look
mm-hmm.
at it, the more empowered we become.
Right.
It is not fear that drives us. It's understanding that drives
true.
Us.
That's true. Well, thanks so much for joining me, Danyon. I really appreciate it, and I'll talk to you soon.
May you be blessed, and may you prosper.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
This is Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week, where we will be interviewing Stephanie Marone on Audacious Aging, Eldership as a Revolutionary Endeavor. And on the 8th, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Diane Powell, the ESP Enigma, the scientific...
You had plastic surgery,
phenomena.
Bill?
You bet I did.
Thank you for joining us.
I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plastico's made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plastico's surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plastico's?
Plastico's is in Dunwoody. Plastico's is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plastico's number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.